especially when it came to the dairy. You talked about that. It was a, more of a mindset of what are they going to do to bail us out, and not a, not a risk management thing.
Well, but, and also, yeah, you know, what I've heard over and over again is, well, we didn't get any money. You know, well, this is not about getting money from the government. The purpose of the MPP program was to give dairy farmers a risk management tool that would help them through the good times and the bad, you know. And you know, when you insure your house, you're not expecting to burn it down, you know. And so the best thing that could happen, you know, is if you don't collect, because that means you've been making money, you know. So if we set this up at a $8 or $9 above feed cost for the little guys, they literally cannot lose money. And then at that point, if they don't buy that, it's going to be so cheap that it's really, you know, and hardly anything. They've got a situation where they're going to be, through good times and bad, they're going to be able to make money. And that's going to be the biggest thing we can do to keep these little guys in business. And they don't produce enough milk to collapse the market. So even, you know, you're always worried about making it too good for the big guys, because then they'll make too much milk. These little guys, they're not going to expand. They're just trying to hold on to what they got, you know. So it's a, it goes back to the MILC, and they're always looking at, am I going to get a check this month? How big is it going to be? That's not what this is about. What we're trying to do is have a system where they can, for a reasonable price, protect themselves against a downturn in the price structure.
And that's what I wanted to follow up on. You said that it will be impossible with this type of dairy margin protection program for those smaller producers to lose money.
Well, that's what I'm going to try to do.
Specifically, I mean, can we talk about the size of those dairies? Yeah, any more specifics you can give us?
4 million pounds. And depending on what your production per cow is, that's about 180 cows. So if you have a 180 cow 4 million pound production, if we set this at $9 and say you have to pay 7 cents a hundredweight to get $9 protection, right now the feed cost is $8. So that means you're protecting the, you know, at $17, you know. That's above the cost of production, probably. So for, you know, for a relatively small amount of money, you can make sure that, you know, you're going to be covered. So if the price of milk is above $17 and you don't get paid, what's wrong with that? You're making money. You know, so I mean, but when what happens is, they, if they paid the money and the price was $18 all year and they didn't get any payment, they complained because they paid money and they didn't get anything back. Well, that's the wrong mentality. You know, what we're trying to do is have a affordable risk management structure. Now, the other thing you can do, if you're a 500 cow dairy, what you can do is you can go in and insure 40% of your production at that $9 level. You know, and that's a pretty good safety net, you know, which some guys are actually doing. So it actually works for a little bit larger producers too. For the big guys, what they're doing is they're going in and buying the catastrophic, and what, for $100 they get $4 above feed cost. What that will do will make sure they don't have another 2009, because that killed those guys. And these big guys are in the futures market, they've got other hedging that they're doing, you know, they can do this without the government program. So this is the way I'm going to try to structure this thing. Hopefully it'll work going forward.
Switching gears from the dairy aspect of it, you talked about cover crops. You said you use them yourself, you've right. seen them work, and you're going to see them in the farm bill this time. What's it going to take to get that in?
Well, it's going to take, maybe we're going to have to write into the CSP language that this is covered, you know, and this is a practice that will be paid, you know, through the program. I don't know that we're going to pay 100% of the cost of seeding it, but you know, the seed of these cover crops are not that expensive, you know, and it's really, I actually seeded some into my standing corn, and you just seed them in there, even though the corn is 6 feet high, and it still grows. It's amazing, you know. So it's I think it would just to have some level, 50%, 75% help to put in this cover crops, I think people would see the value of it. And you know, once they see the value and the way you can offset your fertilizer cost, at that point, I'm not sure that you'd need government help once people see how it works, you know.
Crop insurance was talked about a lot today, and there was talk about putting a cap on crop insurance, and I'd like for you to speak to some of the complicated issues involved, including some foreign interests that make getting a good crop insurance program that everybody can come on board with very difficult.
Well, we, as I said in the meeting, certain parts of the country are much more profitable to do business in than others. And so what we force the big national companies to do is they have to provide crop insurance to everybody, even to areas that they're not making any money. I had these four, the big companies have been bought by foreign corporations. So I had the heads of those corporations in my office a year ago. Their question was, is there a future for crop insurance? Because this is a small part of our business. This Zurich Re company that bought RCIS, you know, crop insurance, this is what they do, and they do reinsurance. But the problem is you know, it's like 5% of their business. So you screw it up, they're just going to walk away from it, you know. So we just got to be careful how we do it, you know.
So. Another question I bring up, you talked about earlier, Conway is the chairman of the Ag Committee and also now with the Intelligence Committee. Now it seems to have a little bit of his plate full. How important is it to try to get this done, the farm bill done early with all the stuff that's kind of happening on everybody's plate?
I'm worried about this Russian investigation turning into a Benghazi deal, dragging on, and, you know, God only knows where it's going to end up going. So, I mean, this could consume him, and it's not a good outcome to have him doing this. I mean, I couldn't do any more than what I did the year I was chairman and I wrote the Farm Bill in 08. There's no way I could have chaired another committee. Maybe he can do it. I don't know. He'd be more of a man than I am if he can do it. So I'm just worried about it. And he's now said, well, we're not going to do it this year anyway. We're going to do it next year. Well, if you do it next year, you're in the middle of the political season.
He said that about the Farm Bill?
Yeah. You know, and that's, you're in the middle of political season. I mean, the primaries in Texas happen in March, and same thing in California. Once you get into that, it just makes all of a sudden everybody on the committee is looking over their shoulder of their elections and everything. It's just not a good idea. So, I mean, we don't have to do it till September 30th of next year. But there's no reason we couldn't get this done ahead of time. We're not going to change the bill that much. There are just a few things we need to do. And we should do it sooner rather than later before this. I'm just afraid this Russian thing is going to bog everybody down. You know, we'll see.
Are there any workarounds to that where he could step away from his post as chair?
Well, you mean of the committee?
Yeah.
The committee? I don't think he'd do that. I don't know.
But the Russian investigation has, in his opinion, it takes priority?
I guess so, because it's a big political issue for the Republicans. It's a big deal for Trump. It's a dangerous thing, you know, and so I think he sees this as a way for him to save the party, you know, maybe to some extent, I don't know. But it just worries me. You know, I we'll see. He says not going to be a problem. I'm skeptical.
You said there wouldn't be a lot of changes with the Farm Bill, just a few tweaks and a few fixes that need to be made. And I know there was a lot of challenges getting this current Farm Bill through, especially with, you know, legislators in areas where agriculture isn't as big a deal. Do you think you're going to have that support, being there's not a lot of changes to it, or where do you see that going?
Well, that's another problem we didn't talk about. But if they split food stamps off, which some of them want to do, then I think we won't have a Farm Bill. So that's another hurdle we have to get over. Hopefully we've got them convinced that that's not a good idea, but there's still some people pushing it. There's a lot of landmines here. As I said, we got to do something to get this dairy thing fixed. For a couple hundred million dollars, we can fix the dairy program so it works for little guys. We got to do something for cotton because of Conaway, and the industry is getting killed. I'd like to see us do something with CRP because it would help with the prices. You know, and overall, the prices, this Farm Bill is not going to be adequate if we have an average crop. And there's going to be a lot of clamoring to do more. But in this climate, you know, we're probably, all the best we're going to be able to do is just keep what we got. You know, but I don't think it's going to be adequate. I think we should put more money into the bill. My own view, I think we should get rid of the ARC program. We should have PLC. We should raise the floor like $4 for corn, $10.50 for soybeans, and just have PLC. That way, you've got a floor under these prices. If the prices are above $4, the government doesn't pay anything. The other thing I'd like to see us do is go to planted acres so that it follows the actual crop. If we made those kind of changes, we'd have a much better safety net going into these low price years. This ARC program came about because of Iowa not getting crop insurance payments, because they always have shallow losses but never enough to trigger the crop insurance. So the ARC program, what it does is cover shallow losses. So those guys were getting $20 direct payments before the change. They got $120 ARC payments in the years where they made a lot of money. I mean, and so now when they need it, they're not going to get any money. You know, so it's just, I would make those changes, but I'm not in charge. You know, if I was, that's what we'd be doing.
You gave me a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, right. Same here. Okay.